broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Morning Glory.
We thank God for Friday in the sixth week of Easter, and we celebrate St. Philip Neri on this 26th of May. Let's give glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we have an international edition of Morning Glory for this Friday morning. I'm Brian Patrick, along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
We come to you from Washington, D.C.'s Guadalupe Studios with our producer, Elisa Murphy. And our godly counsel, Father Dominic Legge, is actually in Fribourg, Switzerland this morning at the Dominican Priory there and leading us in prayer now. Father?
O God, who never ceased to bestow the glory of holiness on the faithful servants you raise up for yourself, graciously grant that the Holy Spirit may kindle in us that fire with which he wonderfully filled the heart of St. Philip Neri through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And we'll talk with you in more detail in just a few minutes, but just give us a glimpse of why you're there in Switzerland this month.
Well, I was given a research fellowship to work at the university here, and it's a wonderful academic library, but also a wonderful Dominican, international Dominican community, so it's a great time to have a little extra time to do some research and also to pray with the brothers here.
Mm. We look forward to learning more about it as Gloria shares our thought from Mother Angelica on this Friday morning.
Constantly excusing ourselves satisfies our pride because we don't want to feel responsible or guilty. In reality, our weakness blinds us and makes us incapable of seeing our true situation. Pride refuses to acknowledge faults and to admit that we could be in any way guilty of what we are accused of.
Thank you, Gloria, and we thank God for Mother Angelica. 2 minutes after now, and Pope Francis begs the faithful to pray for Catholics in China. There are two Catholic churches there, the official government-controlled church and the underground church, faithful to Rome. Father Bernardo Cerlavera, editor-in-chief of the Vatican's Asian News, details the persecution of those in the unofficial church.
For the unofficial church, there are the problems of arrests of bishops, brainwashing of priests, and forbidding the Catholics to meet together.
The Vatican hopes to strike an agreement with the Chinese government to protect the Catholics who are faithful to Rome. Human rights activists ask the United States to press for greater religious freedom in Vietnam. EWTN News Nightly talk with a pastor who lives there and says things are getting worse.
Persecution has intensified over the past 12 months against those independent, unregistered religious communities.
Vietnam's prime minister visits the White House next Wednesday. A newly released Center for Medical Progress video reveals a Planned Parenthood medical director casually describing abortion as violence and killing.
The fetus is a tough little object, and taking it apart on day one is very difficult. But
oh my God, I get it. When the skull is broken, that's really sharp.
In the video, Dr. Lisa Harris, medical director of Planned Parenthood of Michigan, appears to be part of a panel discussion, saying our stories don't really have a place in a lot of pro-choice discourse and rhetoric. That's a quote. Mallory Quigley of the Susan B. Anthony List joins us at the bottom of the hour with more. President Trump is in Sicily today for the G7 summit of the leaders of the seven richest democratic nations. He's already met with each of those world leaders one-on-one. In Brussels Thursday, the president called out 23 NATO members for not meeting their financial obligation to the alliance military spending.
If all NATO members had spent just 2% of their GDP on defense last year, we would have had another $119 billion for our collective defense.
NATO as a whole commits to the coalition against ISIS. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg explains the fight requires a wide range of resources.
National law enforcement agencies, the coalition to defeat ISIS, the European Union, as well as allies individually, are all making invaluable contributions.
And Father, I'm curious, you're there in Switzerland. I wonder what the attitude toward President Trump is there from what you've heard and seen.
Well, I would say that it's probably not as positive as you would find in the U.S. At least the hunters, they tend to have they see Trump as an American advocate for American nationalism, and they are not that crazy about that. But, that's the Swiss perspective.
Interesting, though, and certainly not unexpected. And President Trump declares North Korea a world problem, but says the problem will be solved. He met with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe today ahead of the start of the G7 summit there in Sicily. More arrests made in connection with Monday's suicide bombing outside a pop concert in Manchester, England. At least 8 people are now in custody. Police believe more of the attacker's accomplices remain at large. Victims of the bombing received a royal visitor Thursday. Queen Elizabeth II spoke with some of the youngest victims at a children's hospital, lamenting the fact the victims are so young. First Lady Melania Trump's request for Pope Francis this week to bless her rosary sparks discussion of a Catholic living in the White House, the first since the Kennedys in the 1960s. John Gizzi of Newsmax thinks the experience may reignite the First Lady's Catholic faith.
Someone who brings a rosary to the Holy Father to be blessed is someone who takes it all quite seriously. It wouldn't surprise me if this is the start of her return to her faith.
Mrs. Trump, while visiting a children's hospital in Rome, placed flowers at the feet of a statue of Our Lady. Just hours after her visit, she learned that a boy she had met and actually read to received news of a critical heart transplant. The First Lady says she was moved to tears. Climate experts predict another above-normal hurricane season for the Atlantic. That season running from June 1st through November 30th, Acting Administrator of NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, Ben Friedman, stresses awareness and preparedness.
Just because it's not a major hurricane doesn't mean it's not dangerous, doesn't mean it's not deadly, doesn't mean that we don't need to be prepared for it.
Friedman expects the Atlantic hurricane season to produce a range of 11 to 17 tropical storms, with as many as 9 possibly strengthening into hurricanes, Gloria.
So I think what he's trying to say is, people, if we say evacuate, evacuate. Don't stay there and say, I'm going to ride out the storm. Oh, I'm going to get out of town.
Take it seriously, yes. Millions of Americans on the move this weekend as the summer travel season begins. AAA estimates 34 million cars will be on American highways over the next 3 days. For those flying, stormy weather on the East Coast could delay some flights. The Senate Homeland Security Committee hears testimony on the shipping of illegal drugs into the U.S. UPS Global Customs Policy Vice President Norman Schenck says the dangerous trend has been growing since the turn of the century.
Unfortunately, since 2000, the problem of importing illicit goods into the U.S. has only grown worse. Enabled by the Internet, bad actors are getting smarter and smarter, using every avenue available to send illicit goods into the U.S.
And pro-life Republican Greg Gianforte wins a special congressional election for Montana's only House seat the day after he's charged for assaulting a reporter. Mm-hmm. Last night in Bozeman, he apologized for that incident, pledging to faithfully serve Montana as its only representative in the House.
Montana sent a strong message tonight that we want a congressman who will work with President Trump to make America and Montana great again.
He replaces Ryan Zinke, now Secretary of Interior.
I bet they're wondering about early voting now, because they said that he probably tied up the vote before this kerfuffle he had with the reporter. I think it's an embarrassment, and he needs to do more in terms of saying, he lost his cool.
And a lot of people are saying that was completely incited on site there.
Yeah,
so it's questionable.
But you don't put your hands on somebody. He's running for office. You expect press to, be aggressive. But to hit them, no.
Yes.
We all make mistakes, but that one was right out there. All right, 10 after, just ahead of the forecast with Elisa Murphy, and then we go live to Switzerland with Father Dominic Legge. The Pittsburgh Penguins in the Stanley Cup Finals for the second straight year. Chris Kunitz's overtime goal gives them a 3-2 win over the Ottawa Senators in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Crosby and the Penguins, left wing circle, over to Kunitz, shot, score! Chris Kunitz wins it, Crosby sets him up. And ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.
Oh, man. The life of a sports reporter. All right. The Penguins now try to become the first NHL team in 19 years to capture back-to-back titles as they meet the Nashville Predators in the finals. And Cleveland and Golden State of the NBA Finals. We'll have more on that coming up along with Major League Baseball. But right now, here's Elisa with your Friday forecast.
Morning glory weather.
Hot temps along the Gulf Coast for your Friday. 91 with sun for those tuned to Catholic Community Radio in Baton Rouge this morning. 77 and partly cloudy in Columbus for those tuned to St. Gabriel Radio. And sunny with temps coming to a high of 71 in Boise for those tuned to Salt and Light Radio. And I hear Father Legg, is it raining cheese and chocolate in Fribourg?
Would that it were. No, but there is wonderful chocolate here and wonderful cheese. I indulged in a little late night snack last night of delicious Gruyere, Swiss Gruyere cheese. It's hard to get in an American priory, but here in a Swiss priory, it's considered like one of the staples.
Well, Gloria, you know that we have to be morning people to do Morning Glory on EWTN Radio. But Father, it's early afternoon there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's great. I can get ready for the Morning Glory. I can sleep in and still be on Morning Glory. Great.
Morning Glory after lunch. Describe the beautiful scenery surrounding you there at the Dominican Priory.
Well, the Dominican Priory is right in the heart of the medieval city of Fribourg, where we still have the medieval walls. And you've got beautiful mountains in the distance, the pre-Alps. That's the lower mountains before you get to the high Alps. And surrounded, you know, once you get outside the city walls, really you can walk there. You're immediately in farmland. You've got pastures with sheep and cows and the cowbells. Yesterday I took a walk because we were celebrating the Feast of the Ascension, which here in Fribourg is observed on the Thursday. And so in the afternoon I took a walk out just out into the countryside, just outside the city walls. And it was amazing to hear the music of the cowbells. It's just really
like
striking.
That.
And it just sounds like Switzerland. It's wonderful.
It sounds beautiful. I think we need to go out there and investigate and maybe see about doing a Morning Glory show from over there. But it sounds also like a beautiful place to go camping. I'm not much of a camper, but I'm just curious if you have gone, you know, what would you do if you had this wonderful camping trip planned? It's out in this, you know, beautiful area. You got your dog, you go into your tent, you're like, oh, it's going to be wonderful. And then, badow, it's a bunch of Wiccan people across the way from you running around in robes and UFO spottings and streaking and all that noise. You think that would ruin your camping trip?
Probably.
Yeah, well,
I think it would.
Same thing. Well, guess what? That happened to former investment banker Michael DiAgostino. He'd gone out camping with his wife, had the unfortunate luck of having a campsite right across from a Wiccan convention. And instead of being disgusted and running off, it led him to found an iPhone app called Tenter. And this app takes the guesswork out of camping, and it helps you find and instantly book fully private campsites.
Yeah. You want a little silence, and that leads us to a comment from Cardinal Robert Seurat that not only does the church need silence, but the act of being silent, he says, and listening to God is efficient in its own way.
Well, I have to agree. Who could disagree with Cardinal Seurat? I mean, the only thing that I wondered about, though, you know, when you said that, oh, yeah, you need silence. I wonder if he means the kind of silence that you get at this camping site. It seems like it's more, even though the founder hates the word glamping, it actually, these sites have you on an air mattress with feather bed toppers. Is that how you guys go camping?
I don't camp anymore. I did it when I had little kids. I've had enough. I live in a cabin in the woods, don't need to camp. I camp for life.
Oh, I see. So but you didn't do the glamping, did you, Brian?
No, I don't even know what that is.
It's like the glamour camping. Oh, that's the rage now when you go camping.
I don't do anything glamour.
You have the electricity, you have the bathrooms there, you have showers. Yeah. You have, like I said, instead of sleeping in you're on a raised bed with a feather bed toppers.
That's not camping.
All right. In just a few minutes, Father's going to talk more about some introspection and also going vertical. We're right in the middle of this celebration of the Ascension. As Father mentioned, there in Switzerland and in much of the world, it was celebrated on the traditional Ascension Thursday. Many dioceses here in the U.S. will celebrate it on this Sunday, and we'll talk about that with Father. In the meantime, we have an Army war correspondent, Robert Dvorak, joining us next ahead of Memorial Day.
Catholic from the start. All right. Because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
This is Al Cresta, host of Cresta in the Afternoon. And Cresta in the Afternoon looks at all of life through the lens of Scripture and the teaching of the Catholic Church. Church teaching is the light by which we view the world, and so we'll explore everything, from abortion to Hollywood, and from the First Amendment to the United Nations, and everything in between. Following St. Paul, we're seeking transformation through the renewing of our minds. So that's Cresta in the Afternoon with me, Al Cresta, weekdays 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
EWTN News Nightly with Lauren Ashburn.
As a journalist, I held people accountable, and that's what I want to do here. I want to hold government, politicians, leaders, moral leaders accountable for the actions that they take, and to do it in a way that gives our Catholic audience something new that they would not find anywhere else.
EWTN News Nightly with Lauren Ashburn, weekdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Carry EWTN with you everywhere when you download the EWTN app. You can enjoy EWTN TV and radio live streams, shows on demands, prayers and devotionals, and the latest Catholic news. Visit EWTNapps.com today.
This is Bishop Paul Bradley of the Diocese of Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Hi, this is Tim Staples from Catholic Answers Live.
This is Father John Ricardo. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
We're going to share some of the feedback that we get from you through our Facebook connection, as well as tweets and texts and emails on Catholic Chatter with Elisa Murphy in just a few minutes. Good morning on your Friday, the 26th of May. We're in the sixth week of Easter as we celebrate St. Philip Neri on the church calendar today. I'm Brian Patrick on Morning Glory with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Elisa Murphy is our producer, and our godly counsel, Father Dominic Legge, is in Fribourg, Switzerland today. Father, do we have you? No, we don't.
Oh,
all
no.
Right. Do we have our guest?
Yes.
We do have our guest. So, Robert Dvorak, Army war correspondent who served with the 82nd Airborne just ahead of Memorial Day. He has written his third book, Drive On. Robert, thank you for your service. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Peace be with you and with your audience.
Isn't that a beautiful greeting mm-hmm. from someone who knows war, unfortunately? Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about Drive On. What's the point of your book, and why is it especially important now as we observe Memorial Day?
Well, I kept a journal when I was assigned to go cover the first war with the, they call it the first war with Iraq now.
Oh, no, I think we just lost him. We just lost our guest, unfortunately.
Well, hopefully we can reconnect with him as well as Father. We have a lot going on here as we're connected around the world. But Memorial Day, of course, Gloria, is to honor those men and women who have served and died in the service of their country. So it, yeah. it's differentiated from Veterans Day, which is observed in November.
And believe it or not, Memorial Day actually wasn't originally called Memorial Day. It didn't have a name in the beginning, but for a long time it was called Decorations Day.
Okay, Father, you're back with us now from Fribourg, Germany.
I'm back.
Switzerland.
I'm back with you from Fribourg. That's right.
Yeah. Father, I know that a lot of dioceses and parishes actually have special masses for Memorial Day. I know in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati at the Gate of Heaven Cemetery, the beautiful Memorial Day Mass really is at the center of the Memorial Day celebration. What has your experience been with that?
Well, it's a great moment to remember those who have died in the service of the country, and also to really to pray for them. Not only to remember, but to pray. And there's often a tradition to place flags on the at the graveside or at the grave site of those who have served the U.S. military, and it's something that's very touching to a lot of people who have lost comrades. It's a way then with our prayers to aid those who have died in the service of the country to reach their heavenly homeland. And that's, of course, what we're praying for.
And our guest, Robert Dvorak, is back with us, the author of Drive On, served in that first war or covered the first war there in Iraq. I wonder again, Robert, I'm so sorry we lost you there, but now that we have you back, give us a sneak peek at Drive On and why we should really pay attention to what our service members are doing for our nation.
Sure. And as I was saying, what I wanted to do was put a human face on war. What are the experience like for
these young men and women who wear our country's uniform and carry out the mission, what it's really like for them. And especially in this desert war, this first war, because, you know, it seemed like it was part Old Testament, part Koran, part magic carpet ride, and then part Star Wars, where the Death Star shows up on the doorstep. So it was a very spiritual experience for me going through that. And I wanted to say unburden myself of that and share that with the readers.
So, Robert, you've written in your book and elsewhere about the experience of digging a foxhole and what a dramatic moment that is when you realize how little separates you from, you know, the threat of death and safety. And could you speak a little bit about that? And I mean, you've given it a kind of faith aspect where you've talked about the experience of coming to grips with your own vulnerability and mortality. What is that like?
I had the conversation with the Almighty that night, I can tell you. I called it an epiphany. And actually, it was only one country over where Paul had his, to show you how intense this is. But, yeah, the Army, in its infinite wisdom, teaches every young trainee, and I had been in the Army, to dig a hole in the ground for shelter. It's long enough, wide enough, and deep enough to get underground, and you stack all the dirt on one side. It might protect you from the wind, or if a shell comes in, it might absorb some shrapnel. But if you take a direct hit, there's nothing that can protect you. However, all they have to do is shovel the dirt back on top of you because you dug your own hasty grave. The stuff gets real out there, I'll tell you. If I could share one anecdote with you, right before I dug that hasty grave, my own hasty, I talked to a staff sergeant, and the last thing he was doing before he went into battle was reading his Bible, and it was Psalm 91, where the soldier's psalm, where you put your hands in a higher power and just pray that you get through. And those memories stay with me and touched me and affected me personally. So I wanted to share those with my readers.
Well, Robert, I have a question. You know, they always say that there are no atheists in foxholes, but we've noticed recent trends in the U.S. military that really sort of penalize people who are open believers. For you, what would you say is the importance of having faith going into battle and having been in a foxhole? How did your faith serve you at that point?
I think it was our faith that got us through, to be honest with you. I don't think you can get through any other way. And I would probably say, you know, there's no absolute. There probably are one or two atheists in foxholes, but I don't know any. I'm certainly not one. Like I said, I had I could see the face of God in the cosmos and the firmament as I lay there and just made peace with myself and you know, asked for forgiveness for everything I did wrong in life, and promised to do better if I got out of that alive. And it's quite a it just kind of washes over you. And I couldn't call it fear, but I had this absolute realization that this could be it. This could be the end. And once you accept the fact that you're already dead, and you can do your job, then you. Every day after that is like a rebirth. You're given a second chance to life, and I know I'm not perfect, but I really tried to live my life a whole lot better after that experience.
Well, we appreciate you sharing your experience with us. Drive On is the name of Robert Dvorak's third book. Where can we find the book?
You can get it at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, and anybody that's on Facebook can look up Drive On's page, and you can contact me directly through that. So that's a third option to buying the book.
Before we let you go, just one final thought on the meaning of Memorial Day as we celebrate this weekend.
Yes, it's such a solemn day for me, because anybody who goes over and engages in one of these missions will tell you that the real heroes are the ones who don't return. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've always thought, and through the ages, of the people who have put their lives on the line for this country, and some of them had those lives taken. We can never forget them, and as long as we remember, we preserve that meaning of what it is to to be an American and fight for our freedoms, fight for our country, fight for the country that holds your family.
Thank you. Amen. We appreciate your service and the service of all, and we just pray for all those who have died in service of their country and in freedom. 25 after now, and just ahead of Father talking about the Ascension celebration and going vertical with our praise for the Lord, let's get a little Catholic chatter with our producer, Elisa Murphy.
You can find us on Twitter at EWTN. Email the show directly anytime, morningglory@EWTN.com. Happy Friday morning to a Morning Glory friend, Patricia, who wrote in this morning. Thank you so much for listening. And we also heard from Halton Den Glaben via Twitter, who, regarding Cardinal Seurat's words on silence, says, "Silence opens up the conscience and reveals our nakedness and need for help. Jesus offers all repentant sinners." Thank you so much for writing in, and so true.
Beautiful thought as Father continues with our spiritual guidance live from Fribourg, Switzerland this morning.
Well, you know, Brian, here in Fribourg, we celebrated yesterday the Feast of the Ascension of the Lord, and in many dioceses in the U.S., that's celebrated this coming Sunday. In other places in the world, for example, in the Vatican, it's celebrated on Thursday, the traditional Ascension Thursday. But that means that this is a special time to be focused on that mystery of our faith, that the Lord ascended into heaven in his glorified body. So that's what we're talking about. But what does that mean for our spiritual lives, or how can we live that in our prayer lives? You know, there are different mysteries in the Christian faith that occupy us at different times of the year. Nativity of the Lord, Christmas, that's the Word becoming flesh, God coming down to us. And then in the mystery of the Ascension, the return of the God-man, Jesus Christ, who is true God and true man, so in his human nature, in his human body, he returns into heaven. It's really one of the most vertical, you could say, feasts of the church year. And it helps us maybe become a little more vertical in our spiritual lives. What do I mean by that? We can think often about what's going on in my life, the problems that I have, the things that I need for the here and now. But it's also very important for us to be focused on the mystery of God, on heaven, on returning to God. And that's what the Feast of the Ascension can help. Really go vertical in the sense that we begin directing ourselves to what is above. And that's the grace of the Ascension at work in us.
Dominican Amen. Father Dominic Legg, thank you. Our godly counsel joining us live this morning, or this afternoon actually, there in Switzerland. Coming up, Mallory Quigley of the Susan B. Anthony List on the latest video from the Center for Medical Progress.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
Listen to EWTN Radio at any time, day or night. Audio on demand brings your favorite programs, recently broadcasted shows, prayers, and devotionals instantly to you for free. For more, visit EWTNapps.com.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak.
More to Life is about living the Catholic difference in our marriages, our families, the way we approach life in general.
It's about celebrating life and our Catholic faith and discovering all the ways God wants to bless us and help us be a blessing to others.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak, weekdays 10 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Mother Angelica said that the essence of evangelization is to tell everyone that Jesus loves you. Matt Frad says that it is one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. Are we so full of the things of the world that we can't hear or receive the gifts that God is giving to us? In Isaiah, we hear, "The Lord delights in you. I've called you by name. You are mine. You are precious in my eyes, and I love you." Well, we often don't want to hear that, and in the Gospel of Matthew, it hits us over the head even more that we're invited to be part of the kingdom of God. Jesus is king, and he's come to establish his kingdom. The Beatitudes are the eight roads to God. They lead us with his gifts of the Holy Spirit to become the new person in Christ who will find happiness and bring that happiness to others. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This is Janet Benkovic, host of Women of Grace.
Hello, this is Cardinal Donald Wuerl of the Archdiocese of Washington.
This is Gloria Purvis, host of Morning Glory. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
It's half past the hour on this Friday in the sixth week of Easter, in the middle of the celebration of the Ascension of our Lord, and we're grateful to have you with us as we give glory to God on Morning Glory. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
At our studios, Guadalupe Studios in Washington, D.C., our producer is Elisa Murphy, and we go all the way across the Atlantic to Fribourg, Switzerland, where Father Dominican Legg is at the Dominican Priory there leading us in prayer this half hour.
Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise for your many gifts, especially the gift of your Son. We ask as we prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit sent by Christ that you would fill our hearts with charity and faith. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Early afternoon there in Switzerland. And Gloria, it is still morning here in at least on the East Coast and throughout the United States. What's your Morning Glory musings about today?
My Morning Glory musing is going to be very sobering for those who are still asleep. We're going to talk a little bit more in depth about those videos that the Center for Medical Progress released.
And Mallory Quigley will join us from the Susan B. Anthony list in a moment with more on that, as well as the election in Montana yesterday. In the meantime, other news, 21 people are indicted in what's described as a sophisticated sex trafficking ring linked to Thailand. Acting U.S. Attorney for the District of Minnesota, Greg Brooker, says the operation brought hundreds of women from Bangkok to America, forcing them to work as prostitutes in cities including Los Angeles, Chicago, Minneapolis, Washington, and Dallas.
This case now is one of the largest sex trafficking prosecutions in the United States.
The indictment states the women were lured with promises of a better life, but were forced to work off bondage debts of tens of thousands of dollars. The daughter of an Alabama inmate executed Thursday says there should be mandatory DNA testing on crime scene evidence in capital cases before executions are carried out. Sherry Stone made the statement early this morning after her father, Tommy Arthur, died of a lethal injection at a state prison in southwest Alabama. Arthur was convicted in the 1982 murder for hire plot. The Senate Homeland Security Committee hears testimony on the shipping of illegal drugs into the U.S. UPS Global Customs Policy Vice President Norman Shank says the dangerous trend has been growing since the turn of the century.
Unfortunately, since 2000, the problem of importing illicit goods into the U.S. has only grown worse. Enabled by the Internet, bad actors are getting smarter and smarter, using every avenue available to send illicit goods into the U.S.
And a newly released Center for Medical Progress video reveals a Planned Parenthood medical director casually describing abortion as violence and killing. Listen.
The fetus is a tough little object, and taking it apart on day one is very difficult. But
oh my God, I get it. When the skull is broken, that's really sharp.
Mallory Quigley, Communications Director for the Susan B. Anthony List, joins us. Mallory, good morning. Welcome to Morning Glory.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
It is chilling to listen to that conversation. I would imagine the video makes it even worse.
It is very chilling. This is the worst video that I've seen from David's undercover investigative research, mm-hmm. with just the level of callousness with which they're talking about, just really brutally destroying the unborn child in the womb and doing so for reasons for their own gain, in order to be able to sell the body parts, in order to ensure that they're not performing partial birth abortion, and just how violent that is. And it's been very frustrating to see that this isn't getting more media coverage, but it's mm-hmm. only been a day. So we're really, my job is sort of like, one of the PR people in the pro-life movement is to make sure that the press is watching this. I think that they've bought the lie for so many years mm-hmm. that Planned Parenthood has, used. You know, they've been covering up the true horror of what it is that they're doing. And then it's just incredible to see this video. It's almost like a group therapy session where they're actually just mm-hmm. speaking amongst themselves and truly acknowledging that this is violence, that there's a baby there, that these are arms and legs and livers rather than just parts of blobs of tissue.
So hard to talk about, Gloria.
Well, and the thing that gets me is that, you know, Planned Parenthood coming out trying to say, oh, this is what we really do behind our doors, and having Joss Whedon make this video that's supposed to redirect the mind away from the ugliness of what's there. And then David DeLine is like, I got the receipts, y'all. This is what they really do. And now... Right. The thing that really gets me is when more and more people could be learning about this, YouTube pulls the video.
Yeah. We found out yesterday evening that YouTube pulled the video. It's unclear at this point whether they did it because of some ongoing issues in the legal case. Now, David, it's my understanding that he put these videos out put them forth as evidence in the criminal case that he's facing. And then this is a judge in the non-criminal case that is causing such a fuss mm-hmm. about these videos. But it's really easy to get something taken down off YouTube, especially when there aren't that many views yet. And mm-hmm. if it's a new video. So everything that is on Facebook, there's a video that we've put out on the Susan B. Anthony List Facebook page, which has all of these clips, and then okay. it also puts it up alongside something that Donald Trump said during the third presidential debate that he was ridiculed for in the press, that babies are ripped from their mother's wombs during abortion, and particularly late-term abortion. And this just completely, like, watching the two things side by side, this man has been completely vindicated in terms
of how he describes
and the words he used. Yeah. Exactly.
We're short on time, Mallory. A very quick mention of the election in Montana. I know the Susan B. Anthony List had endorsed the winning candidate.
We did endorse the winning candidate. He's a longtime pro-life supporter in Montana. He and his wife have supported pregnancy resource centers. There was, a bit of drama over the last couple of days that he lost his temper with a reporter. And, of course, we don't condone that. But given the policy positions between the two candidates, we're very glad that Greg Gianforte will be coming to D.C.
Yeah, he's the only congressional representative from Montana. And a quick preview of Pro-Life Weekly with Catherine Zeltner tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are sort of continuing our education efforts with people on reconciliation and healthcare. We've got a really lively conversation with John McCormick, who's a reporter from the Weekly Standard, and my boss, Marjorie Dannenfelder, and then also Joyce Bartholomew, who is a pro-life recording artist, sits down with Catherine. So it's a really good show. People should tune in at 11 p.m. night on the East Coast, and Sunday
repeat
at 10
Sunday.
A.m.
Yeah, repeat Sunday at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mallory Quigley with the Susan B. Anthony List. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
God bless you guys. Thanks so much.
All right. 22 till it will be the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals for the third straight year. LeBron James pours in 35 points, and he becomes the NBA's all-time postseason scoring leader, passing Michael Jordan with a three-pointer late in the third quarter of last night's game. A tough afternoon for a pair of National League division leaders. The Rockies' four-game winning streak is over after the Phillies rallied for a 2-1 win over Colorado. And Washington suffered a home loss, preventing the Nationals from moving eight games ahead of Atlanta in the NL East. The Cubs rode homers by Chris Bryant, Jason Hayward, and Ben Zobrist to their third straight win, 5-1 over San Francisco. And Milwaukee absorbs its fourth straight loss as Robbie Ray gave up just two hits over seven innings of Arizona's ninth win in 10 games, 4-0 at Miller Park. Let's take a look at your Friday forecast ahead of Morning Glory Musings. Here's Elisa Murphy.
Morning Glory weather.
Rainy in the Northeast as we head into the holiday weekend. A cloudy, rainy day in Boston, reaching a high of 58. If you're listening on Station of the Cross this morning, expect sunny skies with temps in the high 80s in Melbourne, Florida, for those tuned to Divine Mercy Catholic Radio. And a sunny day here now in our nation's capital, reaching a high of 77 For all this was on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
And Gloria with more to say on that shocking video.
I mean, just even from the clips that you heard during our interview segment with Mallory, I mean, it's ghoulish. And you have to wonder, you know, you're listening to this and you can say, and you see the callousness of those who once trained to save lives, now laughing at how their trained hands now engaged in the ghoulish violence of abortion. And a whole room full of people are laughing about this. And you just have to say, how did they fall so far? And I'll tell you, you know, Mother's words this morning were right on it. Constantly excusing ourselves satisfies our pride because we don't want to feel responsible or guilty. And it's like they had a group congratulations among themselves. So it's not just one person trying to, you know, rationalize what they've done. It's a whole group of them. And it's like helping them fall further and further into the darkness and to cover their eyes and to say, well, it must not be that bad. This person's doing it. We're laughing about it. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff. And we have to know this is just diabolical. These people are just enmeshed, covered, chained in sin and what they do, and in fact are laughing about it, going on and openly talking about it with other people, yet their eyes are fully closed. But there is hope, because even they can return. Anyone from the worst sin that we think is the worst can return to God. And how do they do that? You know, Cardinal Saraz, we mentioned talking about silence. You know, imagine what it must be like to be those people laying on their bed at night if their conscience hasn't completely been killed. You know, it has to be whispering that this is not right. This is not right. So there is that silence that allows the voice of the Lord to still speak to you if you're willing to hear it. And I hope that whatever is left of their conscience comes roaring back to life and just lets them feel the heaviness of the sin that they are carrying, and that some of them would repent, or all of them would repent and go back to the Lord. And we as Catholics have the beautiful sacrament of reconciliation. And yes, no matter what you've done, if you would just repent, if you would listen to your conscience, if you would listen and allow the light of the Lord to shine on you and see what you've done and run to him and say, Lord, look at my wounds, my sickness, heal me, I am sorry, he will do it. But we have to not be prideful. We have to have a bare, honest look at ourselves, at what has motivated us to commit these kinds of sins, what has motivated us, what kinds of situations, and say, Lord, help me. I don't want to be that. I'm sorry it hurt you, and I will avoid all of that. Run back to him, into his loving arms. Yes, he's waiting. He sees and he knows, and he loves you, and he wants to heal you, and he wants to give you his grace so that you can walk a new life. And let's pray that for all those people in that video. Let's pray that they have an awakening of their conscience before it's too late. Let's pray that they judge themselves now on this side before they face the just judge at the end.
Father?
Well, what beautiful musings there, Gloria, and I'm going to change the subject a little bit.
Sure.
To talk a bit about our saint of the day, St. Philip Neri. So this is, you know, his feast day, and what a great saint he was. He lived in the 16th century in Florence, actually with the Dominicans as a young man in Florence, but then later came to Rome, where he began to do studies for the priesthood. But he didn't stay in those studies, and began in a very simple way, just to go out onto the street, to meet people on the street corner, to begin to talk to them about the Lord. And he's a phenomenal saint for people who might be looking for a way to evangelize, but who don't have a pulpit to stand in and to preach from. St. Philip just was a nice guy. People could talk to him. He was a famous jokester. He had a tremendous sense of humor. One of the brothers was just telling me a story about there was this very serious young man who was a theology student who took himself maybe a little too seriously. And Philip said, well, why don't you come with me today? And he made their rounds through the neighborhood, just speaking to people on the street. And he made this guy carry a little puppy, a little, you know, toy poodle type dog with a huge yellow bow tied around its neck, just as a way of, you know, sort of getting the guy to be a little less serious. And sometimes, you know, we can take our faith so seriously that we become too gray in looking at the world. St. Philip is not a man who is gray. He was living in full color with incredible joy and a tremendous sense of humor. And then he would, after telling a joke, invite the people to ask, when shall we begin to do good? What can we do to do good today? And that was a marvelous way to evangelize the people of Rome. He became famous in Rome for his evangelization, and he's a wonderful model for us today.
And Father Dominic Legg, certainly a wonderful gift to Morning Glory, will be joining us from Fribourg, Switzerland over the next month, where he is at the Dominican Priory there. Gloria talks with Father Christopher Hartley next.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
If you're currently an EWTN media missionary or just interested in becoming one, we've got some great news. EWTN Media Missionaries has a new and improved website. EWTNmissionaries.com, designed with you in mind. Our new site is loaded with great features and it's easy to navigate. There are so many different ways that you can help EWTN. Join us in sharing the eternal word with the world. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today.
Most men will do almost anything to avoid deep theological discussions. Well, you don't need a doctorate in theology to listen to and enjoy the Catholic Cafe. Join me, Deacon Jeff Drzymski, along with my trusty sidekick, Tom Dorian, as we try and make manly sense out of living the Catholic faith.
The Catholic Cafe, Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern and Sundays at 5 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Live truth, live Catholic.
The National Catholic Register is America's most complete Catholic news source, with a comprehensive view of the world from a distinctly Catholic perspective. For the latest issues, people, and events shaping the world as we know it, visit ncregister.com.
Hey, this is Doug Keck, EWTN President and Chief Operating Officer.
This is Anna Mitchell, host of the Sunrise Morning Show.
This is Raymond Arroyo, host of The World Over. Thanks for listening to EWTN Radio.
Value your opinion. Email morningglory at EWTN.com.
And we encourage you to stay with EWTN Radio for Morning Mass, the celebrant Father Anthony in just 13 minutes at the top of the hour on most of these EWTN affiliates. You're listening to Morning Glory for this Friday morning, the Feast of St. Philip Neri. Our godly counsel is Father Dominic Legg, a Dominican who is joining us from Switzerland live today. We have our producer here in D.C., Elisa Murphy. Good morning. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
On the phone, we have Father Christopher Hartley. He's the subject of a new book by author Jesus Garcia. It's called Slaves in Paradise, A Priest Stands Up for Exploited Sugarcane Workers. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you.
So glad you're able to join us. You know, the Dominican Republic, if most people don't know, shares a landmass with Haiti, which used to be called, the whole area used to be called Hispaniola. But in the Dominican Republic, and I used to live there for a short while, they have a lot of sugarcane harvesting. And I don't think a lot of us even recognize how our sugar consumption sort of aids and abets or fuels what's happening down there on the island in terms of the sugarcane industry. Could you talk to us a little bit about what you saw when you were down there?
Well, first and foremost, I am only a Catholic priest. I am not a member of any international organization, NGO, human rights group, etc. So I am a diocesan priest of the Archdiocese of Toledo in Spain. Mm. But at that time, in the early 90s, I was serving in the Archdiocese of New York, and in 1995, His Eminence John Carnell O'Connor appointed me pastor of St. Patrick's Old Cathedral in Lower Manhattan. But I'd always wanted to be a missionary, and I had served in the South Bronx for 8 years prior to that. And I did ask permission to go down to the DR because a very wonderful priest friend of mine from Spain had arrived 2 years prior and kept nagging me to come and help him in the neighboring parish that had no priest for the previous 10 years. And so I went down, and I was just a diocesan priest with his regular seminary education. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what human rights were, where sugar came from. I knew nothing about anything that I was going to confront within the first weeks of my arrival at the parish. And I thought I was just coming down there to do regular priestly ministry, baptize babies and marry couples and celebrate daily mass and so on and so forth, just regular parish life. And but I realized very soon, although it took me about 2 to 3 years to realize the magnitude, the extent of the horror that lied within the confines of the boundaries of my parish, that 700 square miles of my parish, mm-hmm. not the full extent of the sugarcane field in the Dominican Republic by any stretch of the imagination, were disseminated within these sugarcane fields, these hamlets called batalles, mm-hmm. that no priest had ever visited. In fact, by the time I left the Dominican Republic, I had celebrated 6,000 baptisms. Mm. And because nobody had ever celebrated Mass, I wandered into those plantations that all belonged to one single family called the Vicini family. And I found people living in indentured servitude, in slave-like conditions, very similar to the movies that we've watched from the 17th, 18th, 19th century. Mm-hmm. And men, women and children who could not abandon the plantations, who were guarded by men on horseback with a rifle, who were not paid with money but in vouchers, who earned less than 80 cents of a dollar per day per ton of sugarcane harvested, where children were sowing the sugarcane plantations from the age of 4 for less than 25 cents of a dollar per furrow, where animals, the oxen and the humans, drank from the same water sources, where the oxen that pulled the sugarcane carts had insurance policies, but these men, women, and children had no medical care, no work contract, no access to any kind of assistance of any kind, certainly not medical. And why, I kept asking myself, why would a vet come all the way out to a plantation to take care of an oxen when I couldn't see the face of a doctor or nurse or any healthcare service provided to these people, where children were denied education, where they had to walk for miles if they want to come to the nearest little school, which was 70, 80 kids crammed into a tiny little space, who had to walk barefooted through mud. Just horrendous, horrendous living and working conditions that my mind couldn't understand. Mm-hmm. And when I started to go and celebrate Mass there under a mango tree or anywhere we could find some shade and a little table, I would carry my portable Mass kit. And when at 4 p.m. I'd say, the Mass has ended, go in peace, I would ask them to sit down and ask them, what did you eat today? And they said, well, nothing yet. And they were still chewing raw sugar cane from the fields.
Lord have mercy.
But, you know, these are my parishioners.
Yes.
Because immediately, very soon, as soon as I started raising my voice, the overseers and the people responsible for the sugar company kept calling me a communist. I said, but what communist am I? How is it that I am their father? They call me father. I go home. I have 3 square meals. I live in a decent house in the parish center in the village, in the town. And these people go to bed with an empty stomach. But what kind of a priest am I to come celebrate the Mass and off I go? As if that was not happening.
And so father, most of these people were Haitians that were brought in, right? And then they had their ID stripped of them. So even if they escaped the plantation, they wouldn't have had what I think they called the cedula down there. You wouldn't
have
your ID be able to get around.
Yeah, correct. The irony is that because of the complicity between these incredibly rich families and the government, the military, the armed forces, the immigration authorities, police, is that as long as they remained in the plantation, even if they were illegal, nobody would disturb them.
Mm-hmm.
So the comparison that immediately came to mind when I was there was like a zoo. If the giraffe is in the zoo and doesn't attempt to escape the cage, they're going to feed the giraffe, they're going to take care of the giraffe, but you stay in the cage. So the paradox is for them to escape to freedom. Freedom was danger,
mm-hmm.
being deported, being abused. If you remain inside the zoo, if you stay in the cage, nobody's going to bother you. So you have to choose between that horrible life in the cage or the risk of freedom, of being able to escape. 35,000 men, women, and children are smuggled every year into the Dominican Republic through the 381-kilometer border between Haiti and the Dominican Republic with the complicity of both governments and armed forces and border patrols and so on, because it's a very, very lucrative business.
Mm-hmm.
And they are brought, smuggled at night into the plantations of 3 very, very powerful families, the Vicini family, which was my parish. Then there was the Fanjul family, who also own this incredibly huge conglomerate in the United States called Florida Crystals and Sunflow. They own all the sugarcane fields in Florida, by the way.
Right.
And finally, the Campoyo family, originally from Guatemala.
Father, we have to have you come back so we can talk more in depth about this and what we can do. If for anybody that's interested, please pick up the book Slaves in Paradise, A Priest Stands Up for Exploited Sugarcane Workers. You can find it on Ignatius.com. Father, thank you so much for calling in. We must have you back because I would like to continue this conversation and get your advice about how we can help those exploited sugarcane workers in the Dominican Republic. God bless you for all you've done.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
You're welcome. Five till now, and Father Dominic Legg will take us through today's gospel from the Great Discourse in Chapter 16 of St. John. But first, a little Catholic chatter with our producer, Lisa Murphy.
We heard from Teresa, who very much enjoyed your musing this morning, Gloria. She says, preach it, sister. And we also heard from Philip, who listens every morning as an hour-long commute. He very much appreciates our godly counsel this morning. And he thinks of Philippians 1:3 when he thinks of us, which is, I thank my God whenever I think of you.
Oh,
such a beautiful thought. Thank you so much for sharing.
Philippians is a great letter of St. Paul. And Father, in today's Gospel from St. John, Jesus promises our grief will become joy.
After listening to Father Hartley just a moment ago talking about the terrible suffering of those exploited workers in the Dominican Republic, it really does make you aware of how much suffering there is in the world. But Jesus gives us a very consoling message in today's Gospel. Amen, amen, I say to you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will become joy. And that joy is found in Christ. It's not found in any earthly paradise. It's not found in any wealth or power or prestige. Nothing that the world can give you is like the joy that Christ can give you. And so even the poorest of the poor can have that joy which Christ gives. Let's ask him to give it to them and to us this day.
Thank you. Father Dominic Legg will join us again from Switzerland next week. Thank you, Father. Enjoyed it this morning.
Great to be with you.
Gloria, have a good Memorial Day weekend.
You too. We
have a special show for you on Monday, remembering those who died for freedom. Let's pray, glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen.
Have a blessed weekend.
Catholic from the start. Because every new morning is a gift.